broadcasting around the entire world. From Austin, Texas, via Simplecast, and supported by listeners like you. Bitcoin, billions, stellar, trading, mining, markets, FUD, sharing, forks, millions, bytes, wise. Keeping you up to date on everything crypto. Welcome to Thriller News. Now here is your host, Carl Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from around the world. Gather around, it's time for another Thriller News. Today is October 9th, 2019. And yes, we are talking the widow tonight on Thriller News. It's about the Quadriga CX founder's widow who is forfeiting $9 million to exchange victims. Let's do it.
Crypto top stories.
So today's crypto top story is the widow, Jennifer Robertson, of the late Quadriga CX founder, Gerald Cotton, released a personal statement on October 7th, 2019, agreeing to forfeit a majority of her assets to those who were affected by its impropriety. An accompanying statement from the exchange's court-appointed trustee, Ernst & Young, indicated that the estimated value of these distributions is approximately $9 million. She says, "Following the sudden and unexpected death of my husband, Gerald Cotton, I made every effort to assist in the recovery of Quadriga CX's assets for the benefit of affected users. I have now entered into a voluntary settlement agreement where the vast majority of my assets and all of the estate's assets are being returned to Quadriga CX to benefit the affected users. These assets originally came from Quadriga CX at the direction of Jerry." She also reiterated that she had no prior knowledge of how Gerald Cotton ran the exchange prior to his death in 2018. However, given the recent revelations about his improper conduct, she believes that placating users is the right thing to do. If you don't remember this story, it surfaced around January of this year, and there's a lot of talk surrounding his death. It was pretty fascinating to find out that everything that entailed the surrounding factors of the exchange were directly connected to his death, including the private keys that were lost with it. There was a great podcast at the time, I believe it was Kraken's podcast, and they were talking about the whole conspiracy surrounding Quadriga CX and the missing crypto and the private keys. And it was with Jesse Powell and Christina V, and they discussed it and they really dived into everything. So take a listen. It's pretty insightful.
So yeah, there's quite strong evidence that he actually did die at this point. You know, I'd say maybe there's like a 5% chance that this is totally staged, but everybody would have to be in on it for that to be a reality. There's still some questions as to how he came to have this perforated stomach. He has Crohn's disease. It's not a usual thing for someone with Crohn's to have. However, you know, people get all kinds of stomach problems in India, so maybe some sort of complication with some other issue. You know, there was no autopsy done, and so we don't know for sure. And another thing that's suspect is that the guy who would have done the autopsy said that, well, if there was anything suspicious, the wife would have asked for an autopsy, right? I guess, you know, assuming that the wife would have nothing to do with it, but obviously if the wife had something to do with it, she would not want the autopsy. So there's just still some doubts about how he actually came to be in the hospital with this severe problem.
And he was in India, of all places, to have Crohn's disease, which some people have said, how suspicious. If you have Crohn's disease, why would you go to India?
Right. Well, you're definitely rolling the dice with your stomach when you go to India. You know, I was on a similar trip to India about 9 years ago where I was with like 10 other people, and 9 out of 10 people had like some serious stomach issue on the trip, despite everybody being super careful about only drinking bottled water. You know, you just get lettuce at the restaurant, you have a salad, and turns out they washed your salad in tap water. You know, just like so hard to completely avoid it, to avoid getting sick or exposing yourself to some kind of like spice or something that's in your dish that you didn't know about.
I think that it's very believable that he had this sudden Crohn's disease attack that unfortunately led to his death. And I personally think it's not that suspicious that he decided to go to India even though he had Crohn's disease, because you only live once. Life is short. It was his honeymoon. Maybe he's always wanted to go to India.
Yeah, well, he was actually there to, apart from his honeymoon, to open up this or to visit this like basically an orphanage that he had helped sponsor with his wife. So they were on, you know, doing some philanthropy while there. So, you know, the suspicion around all this, you know, it seems believable that he could have died from a legitimate stomach complication there, like totally random. But because he had just signed a will a few weeks earlier, leaving everything to his wife, his new wife, his wife who he had only been married to for, it's not exactly clear, but between like 2 months and 6 months.
There's differing accounts of when Gerald and Jennifer got married. His wife's name is Jennifer Robertson, or at least that's her name right now, which we'll get to later. They either got married on June 8th, 2018, or sometime in October 2018. So there was an online article that quoted June 8th. However, online, his Facebook friends or people who used to have access or do have access to his Facebook page recall and insist that they saw him announce being married in October of 2018. But either way, whether it was June or whether it was October, they had just gotten married very recently.
All right. So at the most, they've been married for like 6 months. And then just a few weeks before the trip to India, he creates a will.
November 27th.
Leaving everything to her.
Everything to her, 100%.
100%, which is like $9 million of assets.
And what's also interesting, and I believe you read the will, everything he was leaving to her, none of it was cash, money. He was leaving her property and property, so homes, and a sailboat and a plane. And I believe the sailboat and the plane combined worth approximately $1 million. So the other $8 million, I believe, was from the properties.
Yeah, there's a bunch of real estate. The will did not specify like how much cash he had, but it did say that she gets everything. So, you know, she would have found out whatever bank accounts he had and got those too.
And guess what else she got in addition to the $9 million worth of property and possessions?
What?
She got his stake in Quadriga, 41.2% of Quadriga.
That's, you know, to me, that's more of a burden than anything right now.
And at the time, she said that as a result of the monitor's investigation, I have agreed to return Quadriga CX assets that I had previously thought were purchased with Jerry's legitimate earned profits, salary, and dividends. She also said, I was upset and disappointed with Jerry's activities as uncovered by the investigation when I first learned of them, and continue to be as we conclude this settlement. And then finally, she says, in return, this settlement will allow me to move on with the next chapter of my life. Yeah. You know, when I first saw this hit the news desk here at Thriller, I thought, gosh, I've been watching a lot of Breaking Bad lately just because the El Camino, you know, movie's coming out. And I've been watching the fifth season, and there's something that Sal Goodman says that I thought just like totally hits home with what's going on here.
Do you mind if I give you a nickel's worth of advice just for old time's sake? The way things are right now, some people, not me, mind you, but some people might say you're leaving her high and dry.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. And especially if she didn't make out with any money whatsoever. Gosh, man, just bad news all around. Let's get into crypto rapid fire.
Crypto rapid fire, just in case you missed it.
First up, we got Algo Capital CTO resigns following $1 to $2 million hot wallet breach. That's right. He resigned as his position of CTO, and Pablo Yabo took full responsibility for the security breach. His mobile phone, again, was compromised by hackers and issued a statement explaining that the thieves were extremely swift, assessing the file within minutes and then distributing the crypto funds into a number of accounts across different exchanges. Next up, we have a flurry of Facebook news. You like that? Yeah, I thought it was catchy too. All right, first up, we got U.S. lawmakers call on payments giants to exit chilling Libra project. This is coming from CoinDesk. Two U.S. senators have publicly asked Visa, Stripe, and MasterCard to remove themselves from the Facebook-led cryptocurrency payment network. They said, it's a chilling reminder to think that what could happen if Facebook combines encrypted messaging with embedded anonymous global payments via Libra. Don't they know this thing's centralized? They also said that they viewed this as threatening language because if you take this on, you can expect a high level of scrutiny from regulators, not only on Libra-related payment activities, but on all payment activities. Next up, we have Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is set to testify before Congress over Libra crypto. That's right. The House Financial Services Committee announced Wednesday that Zuckerberg will testify on October 23rd during a hearing titled An Examination of Facebook and Its Impact on the Financial Services and Housing Sectors. Gosh, the crypto markets are going to be in the green on that day. That one we need to circle on our calendars. That's just crazy. And our last piece of Facebook flurry news, we have a new Libra fork will be created because fuck that. Let's be free of corporate control. 30 different blockchain companies and nonprofit organizations plan to fork the Facebook-led Libra project to build their own permissionless version dubbed Open Libra. That's right. It was announced at DevCon. Lucas Geiger, co-founder of blockchain infrastructure startup Wireline, said that Open Libra will function as a stablecoin pegged to the actual Libra cryptocurrency, which is expected to go live late next year. He said, we're going to fork the code, fork the community, and create a new cryptocurrency called Open Libra. There is no token sale, no equity, and no company behind this initiative. We promise. Yeah, it should be exciting to see what happens with that. And then in our last piece of news, the SEC rejects Bitwise's latest Bitcoin ETF proposal. That's right. It was announced on Wednesday that Bitwise Asset Management, in conjunction with NYSE Arca, did not meet legal requirements to prevent market manipulation or other illicit activities because they control everything. The SEC thinks, at least. The SEC placed the burden on NYSE Arca rather than Bitwise's proposal itself. To date, the SEC has rejected all Bitcoin ETF proposals, citing market manipulation and fraudulent activity concerns. I'm not going to bother reading what they said. They basically just copy-pasted the many other denied Bitcoin ETFs. You can see it. There's like a 30-page PDF. But yeah, nothing to see here. I will also mention that there is one other ETF proposal sitting before them, and that's filed by Wilshire Phoenix and NYSE Arca, but as you know, it'll get declined as well too. Okay, with that, let's get into Crypto YouTube.
Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube, the world of Crypto YouTube.
So today's Crypto YouTube is coming straight from CoinDesk. That's right. They're on it this week. I like it. I like it, CoinDesk. Way to go. They're on location in Tel Aviv at the Ethereal Summit hosted on September 15th. And they covered everything there. It was pretty cool. They covered the on location, straight from the horse's mouth, the current state of Ethereum. And they dove into the crowds, which is nice to see them interacting with regular people because they usually just interact with each other. Let's listen to what they had to say.
What do you think of the state of Ethereum today?
Of Ethereum?
I understand that now it's the largest blockchain in terms of developers. Like, it surpassed Bitcoin recently, and I'm happy about it. It's a good platform. I personally developed some off-chain channels for Ethereum. So yes, and I'm happy that there's a live community. As a developer, it's easy to build things and put them faster into the market because of this large community around it.
I think, you know, it's still a bit early, but I think we're coming towards really a crossroads where we can start to see the maturation of the technology, especially as more enterprises come into the fold and start to pilot and adopt.
What do you think about the state of Ethereum?
Ethereum is doing great, not only in terms of Ethereum as a token, but all the community behind it. I mean, in terms of more and more projects on the blockchain evolving. And I mean, I'm very positive about Ethereum because what I see in the community, because we see the movement of developers to their blockchain and the new developments especially the last 6 months. So I'm pretty positive about, especially after hearing Vitalik speak today.
So where do you think it's heading in the coming months?
I mean, in our terms, it's basically, yeah, we see a lot of traction in the OTC part as well for Bitcoin and for Ethereum. It's very hard to predict, but once again, once we see the amount of developers and new developments on their blockchain, for us, we see it as a sign of trust in this ecosystem and in their token.
The state of Ethereum. So I joined Consensus 4 months ago because of how excited I am about the state of Ethereum. I think, you know, just kind of going back to that story, financial services as an industry over the last decade has had just an explosion of entrepreneurship and innovation. If you look at venture capital that went into the space, it used to be like 5% of venture is finance, and now it's like 20% is finance, which is around GDP levels. And so we've had all this innovation and proliferation of apps, and most of them have been focused on distribution. Like, how do I sell you a bank account, or how do I sell you an investment account? And very few of them have been focused on how do I make banking in a new way, or how do I make insurance or underwriting or payments in a new way? And so, to me, programmable blockchains are legitimately the only real answer to the sort of new paradigm. And so the way you go from music on CDs to MP3s, or from taxis to Uber. So for me, Ethereum is that answer, and now it's just getting hands-on and actually making it happen.
As it stands today, what do you think about Ethereum?
Well, I think Ethereum is amazing. So when I first moved over, so I had mostly been in the Bitcoin space for the majority of my work, and then started working with some other small projects, blockchain projects, on like growth hacking, community building, and then I got really excited about wanting to make a product, like a game. And because I had built so many one-off projects, but I was ready to build a big project where the community could wrap around and we could keep investing our time and resources into. So Ethereum had all the tools for that and the infrastructure that we could actually realize. I mean, we looked around and Ethereum was the most developer-friendly platform for us. Loom was just launching back in 2018, and then there's other projects now launching too. So we've been able to develop this middleware platform. It's like a game developer platform. So they'll be able to, from this platform, be able to use any blockchain they want. We choose Ethereum because just the hacker community is, I think, stronger than anybody. If you go to any of these Ethereum hackathons, we were just at East Boston, it's just, you have floors of developers building really cool creative applications.
What do you think about the state of Ethereum?
I think it could go better. We've seen better from the Ether when you see Ethereum's path in the, five years? It's done a pretty good job in introducing the crypto sector and the blockchain and the decentralized smart contracts. So I think for until now, Ethereum's done a great job, and I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen.
In terms of what you've seen today, what has really stuck out to you? What are some of the highlights?
I don't know if it's good news for Ethereum, but Libra, obviously. Although he said, CEO of the project, he said that 90% of the code was developed by Facebook. Definitely doesn't sound really decentralized.
I really liked the session that talked about Libra and Facebook. It was just interesting to see just how much progression and just how much talk and buzz has come out of that project, and they haven't even launched yet. So it was great to get, you know, from the horse's mouth, their CEO, more information regarding the project.
You can't deny it. Although we're working in the crypto space and people, some of them are against Calibra, some of them are for Calibra. I know there's one that are talking about decentralization are against it, but it's interesting. It's interesting because I think this will determine where this market is going. Facebook, you can love them or not, but this is mass adoption. This will bring the mass adoption of digital coins or digital asset to a new highs, okay? So this can affect the entire market. It can kill some of the market, but you know, it's I guess at the end of the day, it's the survivors of defeat. So if you have a good project, you have a good utility, you have a good, you know, team behind you, I think you will succeed, and we will see eventually the day where the token or the digital asset will reign supreme.
So what have been some of the highlights of the day for you?
For me, I really like the openings from Vitalik, and I'm looking forward for the next panel, Joe Lubin, Vitalik, and Yoni Asia.
When Vitalik was speaking about Ethereum 2.0, did anything resonate with you?
Not really. I'm not coming from the tech side, so I'm just I really like the Vitalik's point of view on everything related to smart contracts and what he thinks the future is going to be like.
I love Purple Coin. You should buy Purple Coin. I have no idea what Purple Coin is, but you should buy it.
First. How do you get over around all the shells and all this? You just ignore it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you gotta ignore
them. Isn't it dangerous?
The shills, yeah. If you don't respect the shills enough, they kind of like jump behind you and take a photo of you and make you an advisor for their ICO. Yeah. Sometimes I talk to people, sometimes I want to talk to people less and I go work somewhere.
So you heard it here first. Vitalik is the advisor for Purple Coin. I'm just kidding. Somebody get on that. Make a Purple Coin. Let's see it skyrocket. But seriously, you should check out a Ethereal Summit at some point in your life. It's a lot of fun. They come every year to South By. You should come to South By next year in Austin, and you can attend both. How about that? Two for one-er. Let's do it. Crypto Twitter.
Crypto Twitter.
So everybody is talking about the Bitcoin ETF pretty much on crypto Twitter. We had Jake Chervinsky. He usually chimes in with some insightful thoughts. He says the SEC has rejected Bitwise's Bitcoin ETF proposal. While the outcome is no surprise, the SEC went beyond the call of duty, issuing an excruciating detailed 112-page order that reads like a damning indictment of Bitcoin's market structure. I don't know about that. there's a lot of copying from past rejections. We also have Mike Dudas from The Block Crypto. He says, sorry, Bitcoin ETF hopefuls. The last application for an exchange-traded fund tied to the cryptocurrency has been denied by the SEC. Well, technically, there's one more, Mike. But yeah, it's all downhill from here. And then who else we got here? Let's see. Pomper, that's right. Anthony Pompliano, he says, reminder, the Bitcoin ETF will eventually get approved. Not a question of if, but when. I like your optimism, Pomp. Next one we got is Crypto Bobby. He's always good for a laugh. He says, things that will never happen. A Bitcoin ETF, a second Jets Super Bowl win, peace on earth, agreement on crypto Twitter, Tom Brady's retirement, another alt season, and CEOs emailing the MetaMask support email. Gosh, dude, that's so funny. God, that dude's so funny on crypto Twitter. and then we got our last one here. This is from Toshi Terranova. She says, what is it with y'all and your fascination with Bitcoin ETFs? That is like the least interesting development ever. Yep, you are right. It is definitely, it's like watching grass grow. It's like, here goes another month of my life wasted researching a Bitcoin ETF. Jeez. Let's leave it all for Jake. Let Jake do all the research and we just come behind it and report on it. How about that? Might do that next year. Okay, with that, let's get into Coin 360.
Crypto 360 weather report.
All right, so we got a coin market cap of 231 billion. That's right, 231 billion. We got Bitcoin dominance at 66.7%. Well, season maybe. We're up basically 10 billion from the past couple of days. You got Bitcoin at $8,562. Up green, Ethereum at $192, XRP at 27 cents, Bitcoin Cash at $236. Yeah, looking pretty good. We look at our 24-hour change, we have an Alpha token up 9,000%. Gonna say that stage, Centrality up 38%, Ren up 25%, Holo up 22%. We look at our 24-hour change on the red, we have Electronium. Yeah, it's not that bad. Actually, everything's doing pretty well. With that, let's get on to the end of the show.
I'm so wild for it, seen it, tried it. I die fully on the tenors when I get my lessons. Learned apples, cherries, pain, breathing, breathe out pain. No, no, Nova King, still maintain my grace. How come the more you have, the more the people want from you? More you burn away, the more the people earn from you. More you pull away, the more that they depend on you. I never seen a hero like me in a sci-fi. So I wonder if you need to remember me. I wonder if you think that I can ever raise you up. I wonder if you think that I can ever help you fly. I never seen a hero like me in a sci-fi.
Thank you. gentlemen of the Thriller News is Dunsies. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. We have a Thriller Crypto coming out tomorrow, baby. That's right. We got everything at ThrillerX.com. Go ahead and check it out. All our episodes for the past 3.5 years. And then, if you want more, we're doing a Thriller Crypto Insights later tonight. Head over to ThrillerCrypto.substack.com. Get signed up. Take a listen. And remember, Bitcoin, save the world.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Parr Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Parr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto and not Parr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.